All right, let's take it national on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. In a couple of minutes, we'll welcome in Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts. And he's got plenty of them for our show coming up.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime,
talk about Darnell Nurse.
Darnell Nurse.
Ovechkin.
Now Ovechkin. Considered out 5 to 10 days, according to his head coach. So the good news is no one's using the C word, concussion.
Yeah, that's great news. I mean, we talked a little bit in the other hour, but Nurse, almost at 21 minutes per night for Edmonton. That would be a significant loss for them. You know, McDavid plays 5 seconds more per game than this guy. And whatever you think of Nurse, you may not love his contract. He's certainly a valuable guy compared to, you know, whoever they're going to bring in next. I think Josh Brown probably. And so that's, they're going to miss him, but yeah. 5-10 days is good news.
And listen, I know we talked about this a little bit in our first hour. Nobody liked the hit. No one wants to see anybody go down like that. But, you know, the league has done an unbelievable job of cleaning these type of hits up. I know we've only seen, I think, 2 to my recollection.
This year.
And that's, you know, and that's close to 600 games. Yeah. You know, we're teetering on the quarter of a season mark here. And, like, we just don't see these anymore.
To your point, when I worked at The Score, I used to do this article called Court of Public Opinion. I would lay out the facts and the replay and whatever. And I was doing one every other day. Every day was like a, what did you think of the bad hit from last night? It's just so much more infrequent, which is great.
Yeah, and I think there was consideration that Darnell was hurt. Consideration that it's
scary
not, that it's not Reeves' first time with an illegal check to the head. He's been warned. He's been fined. He's been suspended in other instances. So once you're into that 3, 4, 5 game range, it is what it is.
Yeah. And so for the Oilers, you know, such a weird team and year. They're, what are they, 9-7-3 or something, right? 9-7-2 at this point. You know, 5th in the Pacific Division by points. It just feels like there's so much there for this team, and an injury would do significant harm to that.
Now, we also have kind of felt that Edmonton is a contending team, but whether or not we believe that blue line is strong enough as is, they lose Nurse now. What does that do to the pressure of that blue line?
Well, yeah, the bottom six right now in Daily Faceoff is Kulak, Emberson, Dermott, Brown. You know, that's, you're not winning the Stanley Cup like that. You're just not. So add Nurse into the mix. Presumably you add someone else. Nurse has been good with Kulak. That's a fine pair, but you probably need a little help on the bottom pair still.
Yeah, and you look at that game on Saturday night, it wasn't the bottom half of their decor that cost them.
No, Bouchard had a couple of pretty significant gaffes there.
And,
you know, does he not remind you, though, the way people talk about him is like a Nylander type of guy in Toronto, the way that it's like you just love what he gives you, but sometimes you're like, ugh.
I'm Erik Karlsson.
Karlsson's a better comparison, you're right.
Yeah. Erik Karlsson, like, he is this generation's version of Erik Karlsson, who's got so much upside offensively and can shoot the puck, and he's awesome on the power play with Draisaitl and McDavid, but when that puck goes behind him, it's an adventure.
You know, the McMahon one that banks off the boards and goes by him and he doesn't quite go all out to get back, he knows he's not going to catch McMahon there. Like, I understand the feeling of being like, what's the point? But you still have to skate your hardest just in case he bobbles it or pulls up or something. You can't just, my guy's got him. Like, you got to skate.
I think that's where the Willie comparison comes in.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's, you know, really stuck in the craw of Leaf fans for a long time, being like, oh, he just doesn't get in the corners. He doesn't skate hard. It's like just these moments where you're like, that really bothers fans.
Yeah.
And judging by the state of Oilers Twitter on Saturday night and throughout the day and the memes I was being sent, it's not.
They probably didn't throw the pizza off McDavid's hip to Matthew Nyes either. But anyway.
Okay. We're going to bring in our next guest. Should we put him on Zoom? I'm scared what his hair would look like.
is it everything you hoped it could be?
It didn't disappoint.
Hey, Sam, I got to ask you, Elliot. Sam, you pull out that sweatshirt every day, the day after they win the Grey Cup.
No, I go to 5-6 games a year. I wear hats. I'm an Argos guy, bud. Don't even
Big
come
Argo.
For me.
Oh, that Canadian accent. Jeez.
Is there a clause in your contract with Sportsnet that you can't shower after a Saturday night game?
That's right. It's Saturday to Wednesday. It's a shower.
Saturday to Wednesday. Yeah. Elliot, thanks for joining us. Of course, Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts. So we're just talking a little bit about the Darnell Nurse hit. And yeah. Reeves gets 5 games. My question to you is, if they contemplated 5 games, mm-hmm. why not just announce an in-person hearing that he probably waived to do it on the phone anyways, and get more bang for your buck on the severity of a 5-game suspension? Or am I off on this? Because I was surprised it went up to 5 when I didn't hear in-person hearing.
You know, it's a great question, Nick. I that's the one thing I was wondering, in-person or not. That's the only question I had. And when they said no in-person, I thought it was going to be 5 exactly. And you know, Nick, you were a really active union member when you played. I remember I first started covering the NHL right around 94, and I remember going to those meetings, and you were one of the guys who was always there. And, you know, one of the things that's happened over the past couple of years is the Players Association started appealing suspensions that they never appealed before. If you look at it, anything that's 6 games or more, the in-person hearing, you get the arbitrator before the commissioner. And those ones would get appealed from time to time. But anything under 6 games goes right to the commissioner with no in-person hearing. And the players never used to challenge that, never. And last year or 2 years ago, I can't remember when it was now, they challenged 3 of them. And that we'd never seen that. And what it taught the Department of Player Safety, Peros and his staff, is they have to justify everything. They have to be able to say, this suspension is this because if not, we're going to get appealed on it. And if our appeals aren't solid and our reasoning isn't solid, eventually we're going to get caught. So I think they're even more by the book and by precedent of what existed earlier. And if they didn't go to in-person hearing here, I think it's because either they thought it wasn't worth that, or they were like, we better stick to what's happened in the past, because if we get grieved, we don't want to lose to an arbitrator.
Elliot, you're so in touch with all the stuff that's going on with the league. And during your headline segment on Saturday night, you talked about the salary cap. And I think that was a really interesting discussion where you're talking about the league blowing past what was perceived to be the upper limit of the escalator, taking it to 92.5. Could you go a little deeper on that for us?
Well, sure, Justin. So basically, to make a very long story much shorter and much easier to understand, when they did this CBA in 2020, like, we did not know what the world was going to look like.
Sure.
We were just into COVID. Everybody was hanging on for dear life in terms of just the financial health of all these different leagues. And basically, the players decided that, you know, they would accept for a low escrow, they would accept some guardrails on the salary cap. And basically what happened was, fortunately for the NHL, their revenues were so strong coming out of it, and they've done very well, that what should have been 50-50 blew past those guardrails. And so, like, depends on who you talk to. Like, some people are really optimistic. They say the cap would be $100 million now if it was still under the previous system. There are some people who are a little less optimistic. They say probably around 95 or 96. But the fact is, it would be higher than the 88 it's at now. Mm-hmm. And next year is the last year of the current CBA. If they don't change it, there could be a massive spike, assuming they go back to 50-50 in the new deal, which we assume they will. Like, again, the most optimistic people think that in 2 years, the cap could be 110. I've had some people who would say it would be a little lower than that. But 110 is a little bit too high, but it's not like it's $15 million shy of that. So I think they have a choice, Justin. They can stick with what the CBA says for next year, which is 92.5, and then go to a huge jump the year after, or they can smooth it out next year and have a bit higher of a jump, maybe to 95 or 97. And the reason this ended up on my lap is the Players Association is doing its fall tour right now, and they're telling the players that this is a possibility. And nobody from the NHL has said, I'm wrong. They won't say anything. They don't want to talk about labor. But the people that I really can get best talk to is they say, it's not impossible. It still has to be negotiated. Some of the teams are aware of it. A lot of the players and agents are aware of it. And there's going to have to be a negotiation here, Justin. But the fact is that there is room, if they want, and they can agree to go past, well past 92.5 to maybe 95 or 97 and not have it hurt the players where they hate the most, which is escrow.
Yeah, you can give Mitch 14 if you want, Kip, if it's 110.
I got to tell you, Nick, I heard you last hour, and I had people saying, like, Nick's crazy. They think Mitch is going to have to take a bit of a pay cut.
What do you – you're the insider. You tell us.
I just wanted to see what your reaction would be when I said that. I've never heard this much silence.
He could take any haircut he wants. None of my business. I'm just telling you what I think.
No, first of all, he's playing great. Like, at the end of the day, he's going to decide because he's playing great. And – he's doing nothing to hurt his value as a player. I think if you look at some of these negotiations right now, Kaprizov, I think the Wild are just going to take the knee on Kaprizov and do whatever he wants. But I think it's going to be a massive number. I think the Rantanen negotiation has been more challenging than Colorado hoped or wanted. So we'll see where that one goes. The thing with Marner is, like, if the higher the cap goes, like, we all know that Toronto considers Matthews the ceiling, right? And so, I mean, look, I think he wants to stay. I think they want him to stay. I'm just really curious to see what's the number.
Listen, Elliot, is it more now just a formula of percentage that the players can always go back to the cap and say that, you know, I'm getting 16% of the cap or 15.5%. Yes. That's what I got before. The cap's moving up. You just plug in the numbers, man. There's no negotiation. I'm just going to take the same percentage that say others have or I have in the past.
Yeah. And you know what, Nick, I think that's exactly what happens. Like, that happened, you know, Draisaitl did that. He took between 15 and 16 this year. And that's the big number. The big one is McDavid. And I think that's 15.9, if I remember correctly. The other guys are all around like 15.2, 15.3. But the thing is now, Nick, as we just talked about with you and Justin, we could be blowing past what that 15 is. Like, if we're going up to 97, then into the hundreds, and that's where the math is. Like, I'm not good at math. When I got into sports, I told people I'm not doing any more math. So people tell me, but that's what the math is saying right now. And, you know, you look at it, it was McDavid 12.5. It was MacKinnon 12.6. It was Matthews 13.25. It was Draisaitl 14. And I think the teams are going to fight it. They're going to say, look, like, even if it is 15%, we're not sure. Aside from McDavid, we want guys making 15, 16, 17 million. But people are going to try to argue for it. When it comes to Marner is, like, at some point in time, everyone's going to have to sit down at a table and say, you want to stay? Yes. We want you to stay? Yes. Okay. Well, let's stop with the macho BS and what's the real number. And eventually that's going to happen.
Are there some owners around the league? Is this going to change the way the NHL looks? I think a complaint from some people like myself has been that this flat cap has kind of made the league, everyone's kind of the same, right? You can't have too many good players. Is this maybe the first time that we'll see some distancing of people being like, I don't know if I want to pay to the cap, and then some separation between the Yankees and, I don't know, who doesn't spend in baseball? Tampa Bay? No idea.
Pittsburgh.
Sure.
You know, and Tampa Bay is a good one too. It's possible. Like, one thing here is there's a floor. So you have to get to the floor at least. But so that's different than baseball. But there's no question it's possible. I think there is some worry about what that will do for the Habs. That'll really make life even better for them. I think, Justin, that I'm curious to see if this is going to lead to any more debate on the different taxation area. Because that could even make it a bigger weapon for the Floridas and the Tampas and the Nashvilles and the Dallases mm-hmm. of the world. Like, that could make it even better for them. But, you know, like, the thing is about this also, Justin, is that the way it's going this year, there's a chance that the owners might have to pay the players money. Like, the players may get more than 100% of their salaries.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is, I don't think that's happened in 15 years. So I think that's another layer about this. Would they rather write them a check if they have to, or would they rather just bump up the cap more?
I don't want to rain on anyone's parade, Elliot. And I think you said we just assume that it's 50-50 moving forward. My spider senses tell me that the league's not going for 50-50. They're gonna shrink the players' percentage.
Well, maybe. I mean, the thing is, you can always ask, right? It's a negotiation. Yeah. You can always ask. But the only thing I'll say is this. I think Bettman, like, all you can go by is Bettman's history. He comes out of the Board of Governors meeting in October, and he says, I wouldn't mind announcing this before game one of the Stanley Cup Final. Nick, if their goal is to shrink that, there's going to be no announcement before game one of the Stanley Cup Final. Now, maybe he sings a different tune when we get to Florida next month. We'll see what happens. But Nick, you have been a big part of the Players Association when it's not been peacetime. This is very different. He wants a deal and the players want a deal. If the bigger they try to change things, the less chance there is of a deal.
Elliot, just one more. If Gary went out of his way last season to go to Winnipeg, and we're talking about a cap at mid-80s. Like, what does 100 or 100 plus do for the Winnipeg Jets and keeping hockey in that market?
It's not easy. I don't think, like, but, like, you know, hey, at some point in time, Nick, it's the name of the game, right? Like, you have to spend a certain amount, and the higher the revenues are in a cap system, the more you have to spend to the floor and the more you have to share the revenues with the players. Like, that's just the way it is. You know what? I look at it as there's revenue sharing too. That's there to help. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a good answer. I don't want to say that, oh my God, this is the death knell for Winnipeg and the NHL. I don't want that because I don't believe that's true. But at some point in time, this is the system and you've got to find a way to live with it.
It's crazy seeing the NBA cap, right, compared to where it once was the NHL. And it does make you feel like, you know, the players are pretty underpaid compared to other professional athletes. Let's talk a little bit about personnel. The Boston Bruins flailing a little bit. Not sure if you've noticed.
Yeah.
Some people around here, like McKee, are pretty happy about it. What are you hearing about Boston? Are they just going to kind of go quietly into the night?
No, I don't think so. Like, I heard, Justin, that there was a bit of a meeting where the players just said, look, there's a lot of noise out there. We can't control that. What we control is that we got to stick together. Mm. I heard that they talked a lot about that, like shut out the noise and stick together. I was really interested in Cam Neely's comments to the Boston Globe on the weekend where he said that we haven't been settled since training camp. I think the Swayman negotiation had a lot of effect on just the overall organization. Like, you know, when you're in Canada here, you're used to your business being splashed all over the internet and sports radio. And like, you guys do a heck of a job in podcasts. The Bruins are a big team. But I think I don't think they liked how much their business was public this year. And I think it had an up and down effect on their organization. I still think there's some lingering effect on their organization. And I just think they've been playing catch up since the beginning of the year. They've looked around. There's no question about that. I think they've looked to see if there's something they can do to kind of breathe some life into their roster. But it's hard to make deals right now. Look, like Nashville's trying. They've tried to make deals. Chicago's trying to find someone to play with Bedard. I saw he was practicing today on the wing. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Wow.
But
well, getting ready for the Four Nations face-off, Elliot.
Yeah, I mean, like they're Boston's trying, but guys, you know, at this time of year, it's plus also they just made a ton of changes. At what point in time do you have to stop making changes and let it all breathe?
Mm-hmm. Elliot, in our first hour, our boy Sammy McKee was not happy about the Leafs and their coyness over Austin Matthews' injury, of course, you know, going back to the spring, you broke the news about Willie Nylander having migraines, right? I mean, where are you with, you know, teams needing to disclose?
I think, honestly, Nick, I think this is an even more different case because I think, like I don't want to get too much into that, but the biggest challenge about that is that Nylander wanted his privacy, right? Which I respect.
Everybody wants their privacy, do they not?
Yeah, but some guys are, you know, Nick, some guys are different than others. Some guys are like, okay, it got out, and other people are, you know, they are harder than that. And I think Matthews is one of the most private people in the league when it comes to that kind of thing. And like last year, we found out that he had a wrist surgery that he didn't tell anybody about for a year. I mean, the Leafs knew, but nobody else knew. And, you know, he likes it that way. So I think it's
but
not.
You would have broke it if you knew it.
I did. Eventually we did. But I was just shocked that a player of his level could have that kind of surgery without anybody knowing about it. And so I think it's not only NHL level paranoia about injuries. It's also like the particular player, and Matthews is very, very private. The one thing I'll say about this, Nick, is that, and I tell teams this all the time, the longer you go on in these kinds of situations, the more you risk completely losing control of your ability to tell it. And that's what happened last year with Willie. You know, the Leafs and Nylander wanted to keep that one under a lid, but it eventually just got to a point where they lost control of it. And I would say that about Matthews here too. I think they're doing this at Matthews' request. He does not want a lot of information out there, but the longer it goes, I think the more the risk is that they will lose control of the story.
Elliot, the worst goal differential in the NHL this season belongs to the Pittsburgh Penguins. They just got a win in overtime against the San Jose Sharks to be, you know, just ahead of Columbus in points percentage in their division. I just asked you about Boston going quietly into the night. What's going on with Pittsburgh? This is a strange year for them.
Yeah, but I think, Justin, I don't even know what to call it. I don't even know to call it a rebuild or a restock. Like, I'll get my thesaurus out and I'll figure which one I should use.
Are they going to keep the big names?
The only way Crosby's going anywhere is if he comes to them and says, you know what, I've had enough. And I don't see that happening now. Malkin has basically said he's not going anywhere. And that's the information I have. He's got what he's saying publicly and privately is the exact same thing that what he's saying publicly is he doesn't want to go anywhere. Letang's a tough one. Like, I think the injuries make his contract almost impossible to trade, even if he wanted to go. The one to me is going to be Carlson because his money goes down next year. And he's got a big bonus due at the beginning of July. And then I think he's only owed, after that, I think he's only owed about 10 to 12 million cash.
Oh, that's all?
For the next 2 years. Yeah. Well, you know what, Nick? Like, by NHL standards, with a $97 million cap, if we get there, it's not that much. But again, it's going to be up to Carlson. But that's the one I could see this summer is Carlson, if he wants to.
You got to assume that, you know, we know Kyle Dubas signed a massive contract, Elliot. But
7 years.
There must have been discussed and known that there's a very good chance that this team, the wheels could fall off. I don't know if they ever thought it was this early or not, but do you think Kyle covered himself a little bit with the Fenway group that now own the Pittsburgh Penguins that this could happen? And if it does, then I'm going to kick in this plan and, you know, I'm protected basically.
Yes, 100%. But you know what? The one thing, Nick, is that I don't know that, like, I think like the guys like Crosby, I don't think they ever believe they're going to lose. Like, even though they've missed the playoffs a couple years in a row and they look like they're going to miss the playoffs this year, you're not going to be able to – even if you tell him that we might rebuild, do you think he believes it? He's like, no, we're going to pull through this. and I'm going to pull through this. This is the first time that the Penguins are really waving the white flag under him. And he's never seen it before. He's been told it could happen, but I'm not sure he ever believed it.
This might be the first time. He should believe it after 20. Yeah.
I mean, he might believe it now, and we'll see what that's going to mean.
Good?
I'm good.
All right.
We'll let you go. What time's your hair appointment today?
It's tomorrow.
Check in with Gussie.
Tomorrow.
Check in with Gussie. Thanks for doing this, Ali. Great
Thanks
to have you
each.
On our show.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
You too. He's got a Swiftie bracelet on. I like it.
Thursday. See you later.
See you, bud. He's going. He's going on Thursday.
He does a good job, that guy.
He does.
He works his butt off, too.
Absolutely.
I like the cap going way up.
And
that does help the Maple Leafs.
I like it.
With all due respect, before we get in the gap, with all due respect, like, you know, that Austin or anyone wants their privacy, it's like, that's what these guys do. They go and find out.
Yeah.
Well, I do remember, was it Simmons that found out he had COVID and then, like, reported it? And Matthews, like, sassed at him at a press conference?
Yeah, that's
that?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I don't really understand. I understand that everyone is different and entitled to their privacy on medical issues and all that. But, like, I just, having been a hockey
That happened,
player,
right? I didn't imagine that. That happened?
I think it did happen.
Okay.
But that was, like, you know.
It's not like we're on national TV and radio.
No, right.
I think we
should have, like, a disclaimer, like, not journalism somewhere on the show.
So,
dumb guy.
I think on the surface, everybody can get excited about the cap going up. But there,
it
just won't be that easy for some clubs. We have clubs that don't make any money. Mm. Okay. So while it's fantastic that you can say that your team's worth $1 billion or $1.5 billion or even $2 billion, it still doesn't help that day-to-day operations, you are losing money. And that doesn't sit well with those owners.
Can't just take out a line of credit against your franchise.
So guess what's going to happen? They're going to go back and they're going to negotiate and they're going to ask the players
you
to help them.
Absolute dark cloud. You rainstorm of a human on this one. Everyone's all excited about the peacetime deal, and no one's contentious.
Buddy,
it's going to be 50-50. Everyone's good.
I've lived it.
I know. You have.
I've seen the way
here.
This thing works.
But yeah. I remember the shows during the lockout of you and Mac just screaming at each other, much like our first hour today. It was very electric radio.
And that's because I paid attention. Elliot, I sat in meetings. Yeah. I know the way this thing works.
I'll say this.
Okay? And if you think everything's hunky-dory because Gary says our revenues are $6.5 billion or going to be $7 billion or are never been better, never been this, never been the yes. That is correct. But it doesn't really help a few of our teams right now that are struggling, including the Winnipeg Jets.
I will say this. You have to be real careful with this NHL fan base who's been heard a couple of times before.
Yes.
And it's one thing to come out and say, we want to split revenue. We want to go 50-50. That's it. Let's do 50-50 and off we go. Makes perfect sense. It's a whole other greedy, gross can of worms to come out and say, we want 1% more than them. Let's go 51-49. That to me is just, that would be like.
No, I think the players, it would be a huge win if they keep it 50-50. But I'm telling you, I think the league's going to go and say we need 2 or 3% back.
Yeah, and I understand how negotiating works. And that you don't come in and just say, you know, hey,
you want to keep, you want to keep,
done. Yeah, yeah,
perfect.
You
want to
keep your, you guys are good.
You want to keep your 32 teams. They need help, and
they
need the owners.
They need help.
They need help.
And all we hear is about teams lining up, cities lining up for a franchise.
They are.
Yeah, good.
Which again,
take them.
Is
nah, there's enough teams already.
It
get rid of a couple.
It's just to join a club,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you joined a golf course.
Feels good.
It feels good, but you know.
Shout out to Fraser Suffolk.
Does everybody in your family agree that it's worth it?
That'd be a hard no. Worth it is
That's right.
Oh, yeah, not.
But listen, I hope.
Show.
I hope everything, they're going to start negotiations next month. I hope it falls into place. They can get something done quietly. To your point, we've been hurt before.
Mm-hmm.
Big time hurt.
And no one needs that. Can you find some common ground? Keep this thing going because it's heading in a...
Everything's going great.
Listen, it's almost $7 billion industry.
Yeah, we should...
Like when I started, when I was in my prime, we were excited at 1.75.
Yeah.
Ecstatic.
There's money everywhere. If there's money everywhere and there's just how to divvy up the beautiful pie and they still grind about it, that's not going to sit well.
I think you could argue the more money there is, the harder they would grind.
I think the easier it should be, but I see your point.
Okay. Right.
Game time. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for this odds to find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now today I'm going to look at some NFL futures. Because during our first segment where I so rudely blew past the Bills' big time win over the Kansas City Chiefs to talk about my beloved Argos winning the Grey Cup.
Hold on. I can't stand you claiming the Bills.
No, I didn't claim the Bills.
No, but you do. You claim the Bills.
Yeah, I claim the Bills. They're the closest team.
You come in here wearing an AFC East hoodie with all the teams on it and a Rob Lowe NFL hat. You got no NFL team, pal.
I would say that I do like the Bills and I like the Steelers. So I like those two teams a lot. Anyways.
Winner ties with Buffalo all the way.
I nailed it. But you mentioned it yesterday. Huge win for the Chiefs. Sorry, for the Bills over the Chiefs. And now I'm looking at the AFC futures for the Buffalo Bills, and they have moved up to plus 275 behind the Kansas City Chiefs, who are still the favorites at plus 210. Did that game yesterday do anything for you to believe that they could actually beat them in the playoffs? Because
yes.
For me,
yeah.
I wish they had lost it. As a diehard Bills fan,
why?
Just
plant the seed now.
Right.
No, you can't. Well, they've beat them in the regular season before. You don't want to beat – you can't beat the Chiefs twice in 1 year. Lose to them early and then beat them late would have been how I thought of it as a diehard fan. Some other notables in there, the Ravens are plus 320, Steelers plus 900, and getting down the list here, Texans, Chargers down to plus 1400. The New York Jets are a cool plus 25,000 with yet another wonderful performance on their home field, losing to Anthony Richardson and the Colts. Beautiful performance. So that was just a quick look at the NFL futures because I wanted to talk about the Chiefs and the Bills a little bit more. A great win for my Bills. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, let's take a quick break here, and when we return, we'll get into a little Rick Tocchet in Vancouver benching JT Miller. We've already seen stars benched earlier this season.
Mm-hmm.
We got another one. We'll listen to some comments from Tocchet on that. What else? We got to talk about Ovi and his hat trick.
I got some Bedard thoughts too.
We got Bedard thoughts.
Logan Thompson.
And we also got some Tyson thoughts as well. Yes.
Who wants to hear it?
Yes.
What a sad
No. We got to discuss that.
Oh, okay.
We got to discuss that.
Okay.
That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're coming down the stretch on this Monday. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. Okay, you look at the Vancouver Canucks. On the surface, the record looks good.
Yeah, fine.
Right?
Turn your mic on.
Okay, well, what?
They're 9-5-3.
Why do people feel like Rome is burning there right now?
Expectations are a source of resentment I've learned in my life.
I say this
there's a lot of expectations.
I say this with all the love in the world. You met Vancouver fans?
It's a tough. I actually said to Kip before you were around there, Sam, like, that might be as tough a market as there is in Canada.
For sure.
Toronto included.
Toronto's tough bigger. Market.
Yeah, it's just louder because there's more, but I don't know that it's any more malicious. Or that's maybe not the word, but
losing to Nashville at home ice ain't going to help anything.
So we saw another benching. Rick Tocchet taking JT Miller out of the game with about, what, 14, 15 minutes to go. You okay with that? It's good to send a message. I know how you, I don't even have to ask you if the coach feels like it needs to send a message, you send a message.
But I will say, you know, Miller's not a guy, you know, that you generally struggle to get emotionally engaged. And I feel like that often is like what a benching is about. Like you're not all the way committed. And I know that you feel like a coach only has so many bullets in a year. And we're kind of going, he was hard on him the other day in the media. And you commented on that too.
Listen, JT Miller, to your point, is sometimes he can, in the past, he's sometimes been his own worst enemy with his emotion and his outbreaks. He's done a lot to win me over the past year and a half. Like since that break between, do we trade JT Miller or do we trade Bo Horvat? Remember that?
The contract conversation around JT Miller was like, that's one of the worst in the league there for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Like it was talked about. It's a,
Talk gets benched him before too.
Yep.
And has gotten pretty good results,
they
I think,
to
coming
have
off.
A mutual
it.
Respect.
There seems to be something there. So you kind of trust it. I think there's a way to send messages to your star players without completely needing to shut them right down.
Yeah.
You know, but this is what we've seen with Montgomery. We've seen it with Cooper in Tampa Bay. Like, coaches aren't afraid.
I know we're going to get to the audio in a sec here, but, like, you know, sometimes do you ever just feel like the coach may feel genuinely, this guy's not playing well. I'm not getting enough out of him tonight. I just think I have a better chance of getting the next goal with someone else. You know, and I know that you have to be careful with that, but sometimes, is it always a personal, emotional statement? And I think the answer is probably yes. But I does it have to be? Can you not just say, hey, I thought I'd get one from Kiefer Sherwood?
Okay, let's get Tockett's thoughts.
There's two separate clips.
Tockett's thoughts.
The first one is short. Clip one, please, Derek.
JT didn't play much in the third. What can you say about
this? This is one of the guys I thought couldn't get us back in the game.
And clip two, please, Derek.
We know that JT has dealt with something since the preseason. Is that a factor in his ice time tonight?
No.
I love when the media gives the coach outs and the coach is like, I don't want an off-ramp, pal.
No.
But they've had...
How about no?
They've had some bad losses at home, right? Edmonton was a bad loss. I think Vegas was a bad loss.
I think this could be up there with the worst. Losing to the Preds.
Yeah.
It's funny. The Canucks are 6-1 on the road and 3-4-3 at home. You know, and you had Tuck come out and apologize to the fans the other day about, you know, basically sorry for the performance. So, yeah, it's getting emotional there, which is funny because, again, they're pretty comfortably in third spot there in the Pacific. I think they're a better team than LA. They're only 2 points behind them with two games in hand. Like, they're all right. Minus one goal differential. Worries me a bit.
Their opponent on Saturday night was the Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. Watched most of that game. Slight Bedard concern for me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I just didn't have just zero impact in that game. Like, I don't know.
Do you think it's just the lack of guys to play with or no?
I mean, they suck. They suck.
They're brutal.
We thought that they were maybe sign some guys and they would maybe take a little bit of a step, but I don't know, man. Just haven't seen much from them.
It's funny when you're Kyle Davidson, you're like, we need some guys who are better, and you're just getting anyone who's better that you can overpay a bit, and doesn't necessarily mean it's going to help you a whole ton. My one connection.
Yeah, the roster is an issue. Not a strong enough roster around him, and then the ask right out of the gate to play 18, 19 minutes, and then he got hurt, and then it's like, he's going to come back and score 40. Like,
but he's down this year. Like, his ice time is significantly down than it was last year. Like, it feels like they're trusting him less. Like, he was 16:48 on Saturday night. Like, he's a -2 that night, -1 the night before, -1, -2, -1. Like,
he's on the ice and they're bad. He's going to be a dash all year.
But you know? You'd like to see, we saw it lots of times last year where he's got the pop, he shoots it hard in the, like, I just, watching that game was depressing for me. I'm like, this guy was supposed to be in the conversation, four nation faceoff. Like, he's not even close. No way.
He's supposed to be a generational type of guy.
And I was so against this conversation, and watching this year, it's shaken me a little bit. Sophomore slump, I know it's a classic thing, but boy, you'd like to see a bit more.
You know, I'm trying to think of the last rookie to come in. Who's the last rookie that came in and like really lit it up? Really, like, I just think it's a hard, hard league, and we're seeing guys take more time to get there. Obviously, Slavkovsky's taking time. Shane Wright's playing in the American League. Even Lafreniere took a while. Took, what, 4 years before you started to see it here?
But,
I think it's tough.
To the point Kipper is about to make, and I'll just make it for him, none of those guys had the hype of Bedard.
Not even close.
But it's degrees of hype, right?
Like, he had the big hype.
I know we've had this conversation a while ago, and I know he's a really good player, and he's gonna some years he's gonna put some big numbers up. But I just don't know if he's gonna be a very, very good hockey player, or if he's gonna be a really special one.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I think strength is an issue, right? And I don't know. In maybe 2 or 3 years, he's going to be that guy that is just destined, like a Sidney Crosby or a Mario Lemieux, or
To your point, not a lot of those guys find it to that level in year 3 or 4, right? Like, usually by year 2, you're like, oh man, he's already
there's a bit of a breakthrough.
Yeah.
Marner on his wing will help.
What's that?
It's a Marner on his wing.
You got.
Oh yeah.
Would Chicago pay Mitch?
Probably.
Oh god. Yeah.
Ovechkin.
Hold on. First thing I should say, Canucks are 29th in the NHL so far in strength of schedule, so they've had a very easy schedule. I think that's part of the reason people are like down on them. Anyway.
What's the Leafs on that?
The Leafs' strength of schedule is 20th. So, fairly easy.
Highest scoring team in the league, who?
Capitals? I don't know.
Oh, God.
Is that right?
Winnipeg.
Take a look.
Okay. If you have it in front of you, could you just tell me?
It's mind-boggling.
Okay, I'm going now.
It's mind-boggling.
We got Carolina, New Jersey, Washington, Winnipeg.
What's Winnipeg at?
It is Winnipeg.
74.
And the Capitals?
72.
But I can do a goals per game if that helps you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But the mere fact that Washington is right there.
They're actually first in the NHL. Washington, goals four per game. 4.24 goals per
game. Thank you. Yeah. It's that team last year, we looked at them and I laughed.
They were hurrawful. They were.
How do you go from hurrawful to highest goal per game?
I don't know. I mean,
explain that to me.
Ovi.
Just Ovi?
Ovi ate really healthy this summer.
Dylan Strome.
How did Ovi get so much better again?
Protas? Protas? Yeah, did I pronounce that right? Protas?
You once told me that if he's good enough, we'll have to learn.
I mean,
I am going
to
learn.
That's a great win for them. Like, to go into Vegas,
Connor
who's
McMichael
playing.
Has 11 goals. He's Connor McDavid.
And,
and he's been good with Pierre-Luc Dubois.
And Dubois's not been great, right?
The numbers aren't suggesting he's great, but he's been good.
Your boy Chychrun shooting in the net once in a while. That helps.
Chychrun and Matt Roy, who hasn't even played, are in the lineup now. Carlson, they've backed off needing Carlson to do everything. They just seem to have a good balance right now.
Let me lodge my official skepticism of the Washington Capitals here and just tell you that I'm skeptical of them.
The bubble could break at any second.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm not coming on here today saying I'm like a full believer of the Caps or anything. So they've been very good, teams do that from time to time.
And
Logan Thompson's been unbelievable. He's played himself onto Team Canada as the third goalie, dare I say it. Team Canada watchers out there.
I'm really scared for your Team Canada goalie scenario.
Cam Talbot's the starter, boys. He's got the best. They're all just.
Cam Talbot's the starter.
Well, he's having the best year.
Go home.
He's got the best numbers.
He's got 5 starts this year.
I mean,
whoever wins their last.
Benning ate a game.
Whoever wins their last game.
I know.
That's it.
Is the goalie.
Have you ever seen those baby races they do at intermission of a football game? They're all just kind of going different directions. It's like, will someone just go straight? Someone. Cross the line.
But Ovechkin.
Aiden Hill, Jordan Bennington, Logan
Thompson. It's real now.
He's 29 away, boys.
It's real.
29 away from the record.
Yeah. He needs to, like...
No, he's getting it.
No, like, if he plays in the National Hockey League from now... Yes, like, he's
getting it this year.
No,
he's getting it this year.
This year?
For sure.
Yeah.
No
I'm with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm with him. He's got... He's just got that look.
He does.
29 goals to tie,
yeah.
I think we said.
Yeah. And I think... To get it. It's 20... Because the record, it's 29 to pass.
He's getting the holes again, the lanes and the puck and the seams and all of that. And
I'm scheming for ways it cannot happen.
I looked. Did you see the Petrangelo play? I think Petrangelo wants him to get it. My God, what was he? Just was like coming down. He was coming down the wing.
Yeah, and he just backhand,
like back straight. Right, into the, I was like, just he's not passing.
No,
don't play the pass. Yeah.
If only we had some tape to watch of this guy shooting it in.
He's not passing.
The Caps are near the bottom of the league in expected goals for, if you guys care about that.
Oh, what are they in actual goals?
Number one.
hey, I had a quick
thing. Quite the delta.
I had a quick thing. I know this will maybe piss you guys off that I'm going to bring this up, but a little quick ref talk for you from the game on Saturday night, Oilers Leafs.
Yeah.
How the hell do they not call Connor McDavid for slashing the stick away?
Okay.
Into the...
Stop it.
Did you watch... I don't know.
Yeah,
I had to watch...
I had to watch...
I had to watch John Tavares in a game against the Red Wings on Hall of Fame. The exact same thing.
Why did he drop his stick, Tavares?
Because Connor threw it out of his hands again.
No. Yeah,
he committed four penalties in one play, and the refs are looking right at it. They're like, play on. You can't slash away a guy's stick. That's interference. That's in the rule book. You can't do it. And he did it in the slot, leads to a tying goal, could have cost him a point. It was absurd.
It was absurd. Why does Tavares going try to get his stick
because,
at that point?
Because like, what, you're not
doing
anything.
He actually appealed to the ref.
Why? Why do you go out and go tackle somebody, get
because
a penalty
he
before
has,
you give
all
a...
All the takeaways from Edmonton just, Toronto?
That was absurd.
One?
It was absurd. It was a clear penalty. They blew it. And it could have cost at least a point. Right, could have cost them a playoff spot.
Quit your crying.
It was absurd.
Quit your crying. You want something to
they
cry
they
about?
They only gave the Golden Boy one penalty. They couldn't give him another one.
You want to cry on something?
Let's cry.
How do you get the... What is it, 18 minutes, 20 minutes back from watching Mike Tyson
that's actually a crime.
YouTuber.
Jake Paul.
Logan?
Jake.
Sorry.
Paul James.
Seriously. When I saw Mike Tyson's ass, that's when I said, this is ridiculous.
I have to say,
okay,
that was an electric moment at the bar. Well, I was out with all my softball buddies, and we all... hooted and hollered when that happened.
The boys were hooting and hollering.
When I'm staring at a 60-year-old ass that looked no different than the one that I than what I see at my men's locker room at Rosedale, I'm like, shut the TV off.
You know, it was one of those things where it's just, you know, it's like you're watching an old dog climb up the stairs, and you're like, God, just like, what am I out of this misery?
I watched him walk out, and I should have put my life savings on Jake Paul. When he walked out of there, I was like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Listen, respect, Mike, go get that check, whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, you got to do what you got to do, but like.
So what was it, 40, 20?
Yeah, you got 20, I guess, Jake Paul.
Tyson should have got the 40, and the other guy should have got the 20.
You know, at the end.
You can't do that without Tyson.
Right. Jake Paul doesn't even want to hit him at the end because he's like, oh, this is not going to be good.
Nah.
It's like, what was this a competition?
And you know what the worst part was? Like.
I did bet on Jake Paul, by the way.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
The fight before those two women was the most
unbelievable.
It was a war.
Yeah.
Like, they punched each other's faces off.
Yeah.
And then it was like, we got to go watch.
Hey, John Jones kicked me Steve Pace ribs through his liver.
That was by far the worst fight of the weekend. Not even close.
Yeah. Anyway.
That was Paul's last fight.
No,
he'll fight. Oh, my God,
again.
Dude. He's going to cash another check.
No, he's not. No one will ever watch him again.
He's fighting up old tough guys. He might be next, Mike.
Who's going to watch it moving forward?
If he fights Conor McGregor or someone that I think
Conor ain't getting in the ring with him.
He'll fight the next washed up guy.
Loves a paycheck. Everyone wants to see this guy get knocked
out.
That's exactly it.
In his contract that you can't do it.
You think he can fight, though? Really?
Who's that? McGregor?
No.
Paul?
Yeah.
No, he's fine. Like, he's a big, strong guy. But, a boxer picks him apart.
Oh, wow.
A guy under prime beats the wheels off him, but he fights 80-year-olds, so that's how he wins. I saw a meme, his next opponent was Biden.
I saw someone said, like, lowering the rim and pretending I'm LeBron.
Exactly.
Okay, enough.
All right,
we gotta go.
Thanks, Elliot, for joining us. We're back tomorrow on Real Kipper and Bourne. Have a great one, everybody.